Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears off and running with you on a Monday, first show in the month of August 2020, Monday, August the 3rd, 2020, 8/3/20, 17 minutes past the hour, and boy, do we have an educational and informative show for you this morning. It is jam-packed for the next 2 hours, so you don't want to go anywhere. Something really quickly I have to do, though. Friday in the studio for 5 hours, we had the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, the man who does my announcing there at the top of this show every morning. We want to thank Ted Williams for being live in the studio on Friday for 5 hours, as well as the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, for coming in Friday to explain to us what the chain shortage is all about. So we thank Mary Ellen, we thank Ted for being in the studio on Friday, as well as the amazing Kreskin, world-famous mentalist, for calling in on Friday. You, of course, remember him from the Johnny Carson Show and the David Letterman Show. And this morning, in hour number two, we are going to be joined by Randy Overbeck, who is the author of a great new book, Blood on the Chesapeake. He is a local Ohio author here, so we're going to talk about Blood on the Chesapeake, Randy Overbeck, in hour number two today. And at some point this morning, we're going to fit in a tribute, because over the weekend we lost a great actor, just a man who was on television, did commercials, did great movies. Of course, you've seen him over the years. Wilford Brimley passed away Saturday at the age of 85. He was a good friend of this program. Of course, you've seen him in movies like Philadelphia with Tom Hanks. You saw him in Cocoon with Don Ameche and Jessica Tandy and that whole great group, as well as on the hit TV show Seinfeld, playing the Postmaster General. He was the pitch man for Quaker Oats for so many years, as well as Liberty Medical, the diabetes testing company. And Wilford suffered, of course, from diabetes. This morning, at some point, we're going to try to fit this in, but Wilford was on the program on December 1st, 2015, and he was really good to me over the years. He recorded Twas the Night Before Christmas, which we still play every Christmas, and even though this was a Christmas time conversation, we talked about a lot of things. Wilford was an interesting man, to say the least, and I'll tell you more about Wilford Brimley if we can and when we can fit that in this morning, remembering Wilford Brimley, who passed away Saturday at the age of 85, through a conversation he did on this show December 1st, 2015. Now, to kick off the morning, though, we are joined by a gentleman who has a lot of information about something that is very near and dear to a lot of people here within the next month. Fall sports. Football, volleyball, all these things that people want to go out on Friday night and do. Are we going to be able to do them? We don't know what's going on with the schools. We don't know what's going on with the governor. So we are going to talk to the people who make these decisions right off the bat this morning. And a matter of fact, the person we are going to talk to is Tim Streed with the Ohio High School Athletic Association. Tim, how are you?
I'm doing well, Scott. Good to be on with you, and good morning to all those in Marion country.
Hey, thank you for coming on early with us this morning. Tim, boy, oh boy, what has COVID-19 done to your organization?
Wow, that's a big question, Scott. That I think it's done more just putting us on the roller coaster and uncertainties, you know, maybe more than anything else in the OHSA's 114-year history. I'll never forget those 3 days in March, March 10th, 11th, and 12th. That was a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, when we were attempting to conduct our wrestling state tournament, girls basketball state tournament, and boys basketball regional tournament. And that was when you saw the dominoes falling of pro sports getting canceled, postponed, the NCAA tournament, conference basketball tournaments getting postponed, and we got caught up in that as well. I know I'll never forget getting, you know, our staff getting that call from Governor DeWine that we, first of all, had to reduce attendance, and then ultimately we had to just half hour before our first girls basketball state tournament game that we had to stop the event and clear the arena. Boy, that seems like a long time ago, but that was certainly some days I'll never forget. And then just the loss of all of our spring sports to those student athletes and schools, just heartbreaking. So I tell people it'll be a chapter or two in my memoir someday, but definitely a roller coaster.
You know, and as you said, it seems so long ago, but it was the middle of March, really only 4.5 months ago. It seems like, my goodness, forever.
Yeah, it does. You know, I think part of that is because we've learned so much about, well, a lot of topics, but, you know, we've learned so much about coronavirus. We've learned so much about how our state government works. I know I have. But, you know, in the middle of that, then you had June with the protests. So there were just so many things, amazing things that happened this year that will be historical things that people don't forget for a long time, and they all happened already in 2020 and put pandemic in the middle of it. You know, wow, what a year.
You know, Tim, the thing we all want to know about, and there's been so much speculation about this, and here we are now into the month of August. Every Friday night, all over Ohio, we have high school football games. I think they draw the biggest attendance of any sport that the high schools play. The cheerleaders are there. The bands are there. We're getting very close to this. As of this point, what does it look like for football, bands on the field, cheerleaders, in just a matter of weeks?
Sure. Yeah, that is the biggest question that people across Ohio are asking. And you're right that Ohio football is in our blood. That's what our communities do on Friday nights. You're correct that it's our biggest attendance sport. And football is our most participated sport for boys. And we had over 42,000 young men play football last year, and some girls. So it's a huge event every year in Ohio. Where we stand right now, specifically with football, is that our schools can practice, and most of them are. There's a couple counties and then even some additional school districts that have said they're not going to practice right now. But our schools by the state of Ohio, and that's Governor DeWine and the Ohio Department of Health, are allowed to practice. But they have not yet been given the green light to play games or to even scrimmages. You know, they're not allowed to face another school yet. And the thing I've tried to stress in all of my interviews is that it's the governor and the Ohio Department of Health that said no to that kind of activity, and only they, the governor and ODH, can give the green light for that to resume. And the OHSA wishes and hopes and is working with the governor's office and Ohio Department of Health toward that green light. We want football this fall, but it is up to the governor to announce that it is permitted. So that's what we're working on every day.
Tim, we live in a social media world, and sometimes things can be misinterpreted in a way. Friday, there was a statement put out by the Ohio High School Athletic Association, and I saw it shared all over the place as if we definitely are going to play football on Friday nights, and it's going to happen, and there's no doubt about it. Did you get that feeling on Friday?
Well, we didn't put out that specific statement on Friday. I think some people interpreted it that way. But no, as I just said, only the governor can give permission for football games on Friday nights or any night of the week. Only the governor can announce that football can happen between two different schools. The statement that we put out on Friday was just affirming that the OHSA wants football this fall and all of our contact sports. We have three of our sports this fall that we're still working on that are considered quote-unquote high-contact sports by the governor, and that's field hockey, soccer, and football. Right now, those three sports cannot have a game, and so we're working toward getting permission for those games. But the announcement on Friday was just confirmation and affirmation that Saturday, August 1st, this past Saturday, was the start date for practice, and that we, because just a lot of our schools were anticipating that the OHSA was going to shut everything down, which that would not be our call anyway. That's up to the governor. But we just wanted to affirm to our schools, hey, the OHSA wants sports this fall. We hope that everyone's practicing on August 1st.
I just want to read the first line of this, because I think this is what might have confused people. It said, on Friday, July 31st, the OHSAA Board of Directors reaffirmed their position that the OHSAA fall sports season will go forward as planned.
Right, and by season, that would be the start of practice, you know, the official start date for practice. So that is what our board just wanted to, you know, we've been saying that all summer. I was joking with my neighbor the other day. I think that the OHSAA could have tweeted or put on Facebook the same message, which is we want fall sports, practice starts August 1st. I think we could have tweeted that and put that on our Facebook page like every day for three straight months, and it would have got a big reaction every time we did it. But that was just because, like I said, a lot of schools were anticipating and thinking that we were about to shut things down, which we were not. So we wanted just to say that, hey, our board of directors continues to meet. They met again on Friday, and we are still go for the start of practice. You know, some of our sports can have contests already, golf, tennis, and volleyball. We think that cross country is now approved. We are waiting for confirmation from the Ohio Department of Health that they have moved cross country from the high contact list to the low contact list. We think they did that on Saturday, but we're getting confirmation. If they did, then cross country is another one of our sports that can have contests between schools. That would make four of our fall sports approved. But like we talked about, we're still just waiting on that green light from the governor on our contact sports.
I just saw it shared so much over the weekend. Just to make this absolutely clear for the listening audience, all that meant was practices, not the start of the season.
Well, in our phrase, you know, start of the season for us means the start of practice. I guess that might be where the confusion was. But, right, August 1st is our annual start date for all of our fall sports seasons for practice. And so that was referring to the start date for practice. And, you know, some of our sports, in fact, Wednesday morning is the start date for our golf regular season. So there's already a lot of golf matches scheduled for Wednesday morning, which is going to be kind of exciting. It's our first OHSA regular season contest since everything got shut down on March 12th. So that's going to be a big day in Ohio.
Absolutely. So the big question at this point, beyond the practices, as far as football Friday night would go, which and not to diminish any of the other sports at all, but as we've talked about, it's the most attended, more people play it, more fans show up in Ohio. It's a tradition every Friday night, which would start here in about, I think we're under 20 days at this point, being into the month of August. What does the start of the actual games look like?
Right. Well, our regular season, the first Friday night is Friday, August 28th. So that is the quote-unquote first Friday night. Now, there are some games that Thursday night, the 27th. In fact, there's actually a game on Wednesday night in Cincinnati. There's a couple schools in Cincinnati that they always kick off their season on the Wednesday night. So, yeah, you know, we're now 3 weeks away from the start. So as far as what it looks like, I would, and I've shared this with many of our schools that have called and asked, if I was a school that has football, I would move forward with planning that you're going to have your game on that Friday night or Thursday night, whenever your first game is. I think you have to plan that it's going to happen. Plan for the best. You know, you have to plan for the start of the season. But I think you also have to realize that, you know, hey, there is a chance that the governor is not going to give the green light at that time. I think that he'll by then say yes or no as far as if we're going to have a season. But at this point, we don't have a yes. And I'll tell you, Scott, that is the, I'm sure, the biggest point of frustration and stress of our schools, our athletic directors, our football coaches, because they're out there practicing. You know, they're practicing right now, and they are full go on practice, and they're moving forward. Everyone is eyeing that first game, but they're out there practicing, and in the back of their mind, they, I'm sure, are thinking, hey, we might not have a season. And that is stressful. That is something that typically you never have to worry about. You know, you start practice, and your first game is August 28th or 29th, and here we go. And I'm sure it's very frustrating for them to be out there practicing, and there's just not that 100% certainty that they're going to have that first game.
Tim, last week, maybe 10 days ago, I think this is right, that a lot of schools in the Cleveland area, Licking County, Newark, have decided on their own that they are not going to do fall sports. Is that correct?
Well, I hadn't heard about Licking County, but you're right that there are several school districts and even a couple counties that have said, we are not going to have contact sports at this point. The Cleveland Metropolitan School District, a pretty large school district, they have said they are shutting down all extracurricular activities until, I believe, October 1st. Toledo Public Schools has done the same thing. I believe Portage County is one of the counties where the County Department of Health And there's still a lot of unknown legalities of this. I think that's what the schools are looking into right now. But the County Department of Health said their schools will not have extracurricular activities. So it's really all over the board in terms of who's calling the shots in a specific school district or in a county. But, you know, we hope, and this is part of why we're moving forward with our fall sports, we hope that those schools that cannot practice right now because of their school district decision or their county, we hope that here in a month or so their numbers are looking better and they can start playing. So right now the vast majority of our schools are practicing and they hope to play. But you're right, there's a few that right now cannot for various reasons.
Mm-hmm. Tim, we all know what Football Friday night looks like. As I say, we see the bands, we see the cheerleaders, we see the teams, we see people coming from visiting schools, we see the fans from our home school. Even if the season does happen, what is that going to look like this fall? What has already changed?
Well, that's one of the big questions, and we've been asked that a lot, and of course our first thought is, you know, we're just trying to have a season. I know that our schools would say that, of course, they would love a packed stadium, but if they have to play with no fans, they would still do it. I don't think we would have a scenario, and this is just my personal opinion based on all the information that I've seen. At the high school level, I don't think we're going to have a situation where no fans are permitted. I mean, that can work at the professional level and even at the college level under certain circumstances, but at the high school level, I think at least the parents need to be there. You know, these are kids, you know, these are minors. So we do need at least parents there. Hopefully it's a scenario where there's a number given to each participant. Let's say it's 4 or 6. But I don't think we are going to have a sports season where it's game on as normal in terms of anyone who wants into a stadium can get in. I at this point, with the way we are right now with our numbers, but also the social distancing regulations from the state are in effect, and I bet they're going to be in effect for a long time. I mean, maybe more than a year still. So the fact that we still need to social distance and all those things, I bet it's going to be reduced number of fans, but we're really pushing that at least we can have some, because these obviously are kids and they need their parents there.
Tim, we are in Ohio right now. We have a mask mandate in the state. The idea is still to stay 6 feet apart from everybody else. When it comes to a contact sport, or even some non-contact sports, for people over the age of 10, how does that all play out? How does that all figure in?
Yeah, you're right. That's been a good question in terms of a lot of people saying, hey, if we have to be socially distanced, why is it okay for, you know, people to put on helmets and run into each other then? It's a good question. You know, so I think everyone has probably has kind of formed their own opinion on that. I can just share mine, and that is that the social distancing, the wearing masks, the washing your hands a lot, you know, all that is meant to slow the spread of coronavirus. It's not going to stop it. It's meant to slow the spread, and that's, of course, a good thing. You know, we need to do everything we can so that we don't overwhelm the hospitals, that we do our part. I think you can still have some activities, even contact sports, if the proper safety measures are put in place. We're making sure we're sanitizing all the equipment. We're making sure that we're doing all the normal health and safety checks, that if you have any symptom at all, you're not going to participate. If you are sick, go to the doctor, get a test. But, you know, as far as can we still do some activities, I think we can. I think we still can have even some contact sports, as long as we're smart about it before the event and after the event. And if you have any symptom at all, you're not going. And I know that, of course, a lot of people are going to say that, you know, there's a lot of people that are asymptomatic, and that is absolutely true. And so I think that's why we still have to be safe about it. But I do think we can move forward. And, of course, as we've said, you know, we are not the medical experts here at the OHSAA. The Ohio Department of Health is the one advising Governor DeWine on if we'll be able to move forward with that.
With the mandate that came down over the weekend that bars and restaurants in Ohio can no longer serve alcohol after 10 o'clock to prevent this from spreading, does that give you any pause at this point that something that affects almost everybody in Ohio has changed drastically just to stop the spread of this?
Well, that's one example of things that kind of raise your caution level. We did see that. You know, I think that we look at the numbers every day, and we look at the new orders every day, just like most Ohioans do. Anytime you have a new order put in place like that that is the result of numbers going up, that's not a good thing. And I think Governor DeWine has said that too. I think it was this past Thursday during his press conference, or it might have been the Tuesday before that, where he was asked directly, you know, can you give us an update on high school sports or contact sports? And he just pretty frankly said, not yet. He said, I need to see more data for the next week or 10 days or even 2 weeks to see where we're trending before he can make that decision. I think that's a fair answer. You know, I think everyone says that everyone would believe that if we have certain areas or even the whole state where the numbers are spiraling out of control, then sports are probably not the best thing to do. Neither is in-person school if it's really bad. So, you know, there's just so many points of data and information that the governor takes in every day to make his decisions. But specifically, if you have a decision where it's to scale something back, to take away something, of course, that means numbers are not going in the right direction.
Tim, we already know for sure as of last week that Franklin County, one of the biggest school districts in the state, Columbus, of course, will now not be in school in the fall semester. They will be at home. It will be all remote learning. If children, students were allowed to go out and play football and volleyball and things at this point when they can't enter the school, do you feel that would come off hypocritic at this point? Because we know that that's what's going to happen as far as school goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is certainly an interesting dilemma, isn't it? You know, with schools going virtual, but some of them have, even some of the ones that have gone virtual, they have not canceled sports. So I guess I would look at it back to kind of the an answer a little bit ago, is just the reason for going virtual, the reason for not having all those students together, is to slow the spread. And I think you can slow the spread but still do activities. I think it also goes back to the fact that in our school buildings, those are obviously contained spaces. They're indoors. And at a lot of our schools, and especially Columbus City, you have hundreds and hundreds of kids inside a confined space with adults, with your teachers and administrators. I think that's a lot different scenario than 60 kids outside on a field. So I think at first glance, yeah, people are going to look at that and say, how can you play sports if you can't be in school? But I think when you really look at it, especially our larger schools, that's a lot of kids inside. That's a lot different than sports being outside. And I know that volleyball is an indoor sport. That's our only fall indoor sport. But again, you have maybe a dozen, couple dozen for the whole 9 through 12 team. You have a couple dozen girls playing volleyball with the coaches. That's just so much different than hundreds and hundreds of kids in the school walking the hallways.
Is there a concern that the governor would say go ahead and your organization says go ahead, and then mom and dad and school administrators say, not my student, not my kid?
Well, that's going to happen, Scott. That's a good point. That is going to happen. In fact, we've said we have to be sensitive to how it is phrased, but certainly our families are going to have to make the first decision on whether or not their son or daughter should play. Absolutely. Yeah, there's already school districts that, kind of like at the college level, there were some colleges that said, we're not playing sports this fall, even before their conference said anything or the NCAA said anything. So certainly that is, and we're also seeing too now, I think I saw a report last night that now maybe 14 or 15, could be more than that, NFL players have said they're not playing this year. That's a family decision. It's a personal decision. And yeah, even if the governor gives a green light for football, of course the OHSA has already said we want football, but certainly every year, but especially this year, it is a family decision on whether or not to play.
None of us have a magic ball that we can look into, but we have seen things like Major League Baseball resume with adjusted rules and then people testing positive for COVID-19. We saw the nursing homes and assisted living centers reopen on July the 20th, and then we had outbreaks at these places, and then on their own, these nursing homes decided to close back down and test all the residents so there was not a bigger spread. Prisons have done the same thing. Worst case scenario, it starts and then there is an outbreak on a team. That has to weigh heavy on your mind.
Well, it's in the back of our minds that could certainly happen, that we get started and then we have a shutdown again. I think that's in the back of everyone's mind, especially our schools. And, our school districts that are starting with some kind of in-person instruction, I bet they're thinking about that too. But I think the biggest thing that we want is to at least let's give them a shot. Let's give them a chance. Because if we say, if we get started and then we have to shut down, that could happen. I bet that the vast majority of our schools would say, if we have to shut down because the numbers are just so out of control, or we have too many positive cases in our school or our area, and then we have to shut down, they understand. But to not even give them a chance to start, we don't feel is appropriate. We want to give them a chance to start. If things get out of control and we have to shut down, then we have to shut down. But we're hoping we'll at least have a chance to start.
Mm. When do you think the final announcement on this will come?
Well, I'm very confident that, and I just know that Governor DeWine and Lieutenant Governor Husted, they're aware that our contact sports begin here the third August, and then football's the week after that. They know that that's when the regular seasons are supposed to begin. So I really think they're going to make a decision before then. I would not necessarily say that they're going to make that decision this week. I think they would make it next week. But it's so hard to tell. I mean, I think I can only base that on the fact of what Governor DeWine said, is that he wants to see more data before he makes that decision, and he knows that he does not have to make that decision right now. He does not have to make that decision this week. Of course, we wish he would, but we know that he doesn't have to. So it very well could go up to the 11th hour, and as he sees the data, and then he'll decide, okay, can we move forward? Really hard to tell. It's really only speculation at this point.
Because everything does seem to be time sensitive. Everybody likes to get ready. Everybody likes to prepare. If it did happen, what are some of the things that we think would change? We talked about earlier maybe only parents being let in. We don't know at this point. What are some of the things you might foresee changing?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is how many people are going to be allowed into the facility. That's the big question, but that in itself is going to make high school football and all of our sports look a lot different without a whole lot of people in the stands. It's going to have a different feel to it. But on top of that, I think the two biggest things I've thought of is, number one, just the safety precautions to handle money in terms of at the ticket booths. Number two, is it appropriate to have concession stands? And number three is just the cleaning of the facility, especially restrooms. So, you know, just there's so many things that go into hosting a big event like a football game that, you know, do you need to space out vehicles? Do you need to have extra timeouts to give kids a chance to make sure they're socially distanced but getting enough water? You know, all those things, there's all that goes into that, but just things that happen off the field in terms of things our athletic directors have to plan for. I tell you, one of the biggest ones is the press box. You know, right now, basically those press boxes are jam-packed on Friday night with workers, with media. And each school is going to have to decide how many people they want to let in their press box. So that's going to be a big issue for our schools to work through.
Because of the enormity of football, because there are obviously other fall sports, but because of the enormity of it, because the press does tend to cover it more, because there are more people in the stands, because more students do play it, is that possibly working more toward that not happening than, let's say, volleyball or field hockey?
Well, that's a good question, and I don't know if we've already talked about it here in this interview, but three of our sports have already been approved to have contests, and that's golf, tennis, and volleyball. So we already know that contests in those sports will happen. In fact, Wednesday is the start date for our golf season. So those three sports, our teams are moving forward. They're going to play games. I think the sports that, you know, and of course we talked about that we're still waiting on confirmation for cross country, but the other three sports, field hockey, soccer, and football, I don't think it's so much the enormity of the crowds or the size of the stadiums. It's really that contact that still has them on the no-go list. So, you know, certainly I think the enormity and the size of high school football is not lost on the governor and lieutenant governor. They realize how big it is to Ohio and how important it is. So I think that makes them extra aware that this is an important decision that needs to be made, but I don't know if it really has much impact one way or the other just in terms of how many fans go. You know, they have already been talking about how many fans will be allowed into Ohio State football games, and I think they realize that is just such a big part of Ohio.
You know, I remember when the pools were opening this past spring, a lot of pools, including the one here in Marion County, ended up not opening, even though they got the green light, because of the extra money that they would have had to have spent to have people come in and clean the pools and look for people who were not wearing masks when they weren't in the pools and to make sure people were socially distanced, and the money that they were not going to make on ticket sales by only letting a certain amount of people in the pool. at a certain time. So even though the pools were allowed to open, and some did in Ohio, some didn't, like the one here in Marion County, strictly based on economics. In the end, might this not so much be a medical issue for schools as it might be an economic issue?
Well, I think that certainly the economics of the whole thing is something to take into account, and the pool where my kids typically go did not open this summer, so they were disappointed about that. I think on the economic side, a lot of it is how much money does it cost to sanitize and just conduct your normal order of business. You know, plexiglass partitions, hand sanitizer, all that costs money. So I think that schools are going to have to look at, can we afford to move forward with the activities that we want to do, you know, and do them safely.
Do you at this point where we stand, do you see the scenario, and again, none of us have a crystal ball, do you see it going on as normal as possible, Friday night football? Do you see it going on with a lot of restrictions that were not there before, or not going on at all, if you had to say today, based on what we've seen?
I think it's going to go on, but look a lot different. I think it's going to happen, but with a lot of restrictions on how many people can be there, a lot of safety precautions. So if I just had to guess as of today, on August 3rd, I would just have to lean toward the fact that I think it will happen, but it's going to look a lot different. So, you know, it's one of those where it's really still 50-50 at this point. I'm optimistic, though, so I do think it's going to happen, part of it because I want it to happen so bad, but I also think Governor DeWine knows how important it is, and that if there's anything he can do to put things in place to let us move forward with it, I think he will.
With everything that happened in the spring, because we didn't talk a whole lot about this after it happened, but we talked about the big wrestling tournament being canceled. I remember that very well. A lot of things did not go on. Well, nothing went on in the spring that was supposed to. What did that do to Ohio and scouting and people who go to college on scholarships and things of that nature?
Oh, sure. That certainly had a big impact on the seniors and even the juniors. You know, a lot of people might not realize that for high school kids who want to go on and play sports at the college level, if you play a spring sport, your junior year is huge. In fact, typically you've already made your college decision by the time you get to be a senior in your spring sport. So, you know, the juniors that missed out on their season, certainly that has impacted them greatly. I've read various things from college coaches about how they still went about recruiting kids and taking in all the information they could, even though those kids did not have a spring season. You know, we don't get too involved in the college recruiting process here at the OHSAA. Only 3% of high school kids go on and play sports at the college level. So we work every day just on overall participation. We applaud and we celebrate those kids that go on to play at the college level, but really we're just focused on everybody in terms of hoping everybody can participate as much as they want to.
Tim, we have a little under 5 minutes left here, and this, I think, is the question we're asking everybody in everything, so we certainly will ask it of high school sports here. Is there ever a chance we are going to get back when this is all possibly said and done, when a vaccine comes in, when maybe this is eradicated at some point? Are we ever going to get back to where we were prior to March of 2020?
Well, down the road, Scott, I think we'll get close to it, but I don't know if we'll ever get back to fully where we were, just because I think that to be a certain portion of the population that is, from now on, they're going to be leery of large gatherings, especially those in our society that are either elderly or have compromised health system, that if they are anywhere nervous about going into a large crowd, they're not going to go. So, you know, I think that we'll get back to looking close to normal down the road, but I don't think we'll ever get there fully. And, you know, obviously we've had, you know, the number of deaths in Ohio. Certainly, some of those were sports fans that now are not going to go. I was talking earlier this month with one of our radio announcers up in Sandusky, and his grandfather and two of his uncles all passed away from COVID-19, and every Friday night they would go to a high school football game. Well, they're not going to go anymore. So you have certain folks like that who, you know, they were regular high school sports fans, and they did not survive the COVID-19 pandemic. So that's going to cut into your fan base certainly there too.
And just to make this clear again, because I think people are a little confused on this, if the government or the governor says yes, and your organization, the OHSAA, says yes, we are going to go ahead, the school district itself can ultimately say, we don't think this is a good idea based on our community. Is that correct?
Sure, that's correct. Yeah, the OHSAA never forces a school to play sports. So you're right. The school district, and there will be some of these where, let's say the governor says yes to, I'll just make an example. Let's say the governor says yes to soccer. And, of course, the OHSAA wants sports, so we would say yes to soccer. But there would be some school districts that say, well, we still don't think it's the right thing to do in our area, so we're going to say no. Certainly, that could happen and will happen. The OHSAA cannot force schools to play sports, and they don't have any penalties or repercussions if they decide not to play.
It's my understanding, and maybe I'm wrong here, but in this scenario, and we know it's going to happen even if not exactly in this scenario, our high school here in Marion, the city schools, Marion City Schools, if they end up being allowed to play football, one of their games on September 11th is against Newark. Now, it was described to me that Newark has already decided that they are not going to do fall sports. So that week, how does that... Does that game not count against them? Do they just take that week off? How does that figure in? And the people who play the Cleveland schools, Toledo, how does that all work in a championship crunch?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for regular season games, if there's a scenario like that where the opponent cannot play, it's just a bye week. It's just a no contest. It's not a forfeit. It's not going to hurt the... Well, it hurts both schools because they couldn't have the game, but it's not a forfeit or anything for the team that could not play. It's just a bye week.
Tim, before we part ways here, and I certainly appreciate the time, what is the long-term legacy and effect, because we certainly saw it in the spring and we may be ready to see it in the fall, of COVID-19 on high school sports in Ohio?
Wow. Well, the cancellation of our wrestling and basketball and hockey state tournaments certainly will reverberate for years, and there will be kids who grow up and say they were a part of the class that got canceled. Same thing with the spring sports. That will be with us forever, which is really unfortunate. We had several events and even one state tournament canceled because of World War II, but other than that, we've never had a cancellation of a whole season or our state tournaments, not even basketball. So, you know, it's historic. It really is. It is so heartbreaking for those student athletes that had their seasons taken away. And I know sports are sports. You know, it's funny, you have some people saying, you know, it's their whole life, and you have some people saying, it's games. You know, there's a lot more important things out there. It's somewhere in the middle, probably. It is more than a game, I'd say that. It teaches kids so much more than just wins and losses. So we want sports more than anyone, and I know most of our schools feel that same way. In terms of just historical context, we hope we don't have to go through this again, but it's something that our schools and our student-athletes in the OHSAA is going to take years to recover from.
Final quick question before we part ways. Tim, and again, none of us have a crystal ball, but percentage-wise on August 3rd, as far as football goes, because that's the one people are talking about right now, what do you think the percentage is that there will be kids on the field playing games competitively on Friday nights in 25 days?
Mm. Good question. And this is just my personal thought. I would say it's probably 60% that I would say, yes, it's going to happen. It could even be a little higher than that, but I mean, I'd want to say it's better than 50-50, but there's still a big decision that Governor DeWine has to make on that, so I can't say it's better than 50-50, but I'm optimistic, Scott, so I'm going to say 60%.
Tim Streed with the Ohio High School Athletic Association. Tim, what a fantastic conversation it's been this morning. Very informative for our area and listening audience, and I hope you come back when we find out the answers to all these questions.
That sounds good, Scott. Thanks for having me on.
And
let's chat again soon.
Thank you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tim Streed, Ohio High School Athletic Association. We're coming back next hour with lots more. Stay tuned.
And I think you're going to enjoy them. Here is Shickle Creeper with good shortcuts. So I came out. I said, ready, I wasn't. Mr. Salop's been on.